What's up, guys? Welcome back to Views, the podcast where Jason takes a bunch of carrots and tries to fill all his holes with them. He is 37, just in his mouth right now. Let me pull him out. That was insane, Jason. If only the people could have seen that.
Oh, well, they did see it. I taped it all.
What?
I recorded it. I'm sending it to Guinness tomorrow morning. You know, I go to that joke every time. Like, Guinness is going to come somehow and look at this.
Speaking of coming, MeUndies, they're the best underwear on the planet.
What?
And Jason's computer just shut off. I was supposed to read the script. Okay, here we go. MeUndies are the best underwear on the planet.
Did you just say speaking of coming in yeah. front of an underwear ad?
That's the best way to do it.
Right in your underwear.
MeUndies are the best underwear on the planet. Need proof? Go to their site and look at pictures of people in their underwear. That's all Jason can do because MeUndies doesn't want to send them any undies.
Yeah,
then order a pair and feel for yourself because it's National Underwear Month.
I'm not going to read this. I'm going on strike.
MeUndies just has a porn website and it's just people wearing their underwear.
I've not been sent the MeUndies and I refuse to read for MeUndies until I get my fair share of the underwear, which you took.
Fair enough. That means I'm taking all the money from this ad.
No.
Once you feel MeUndies and feel them down there, you're going to want to wear them all the time because they're the world's most comfortable underwear.
That's because MeUndies... I'm going to start reading now. As soon as you said you're taking all the money. That's because MeUndies are made from...
Lensing, micromodal...
90.
That's because MeUndies are made from Lensing Micromodal, a sustainably sourced, naturally soft fabric. It's proven to be 3 times softer than cotton.
Wow, that's so soft.
It's made out of fish. Sustainably?
What?
They don't take all the fish out of the water? It doesn't make any sense what I'm saying. You're right. The face on your face right now says, Jason's making no sense. And I want to tell you, you're right.
All right, well, order,
I apologize.
Order a pair. And if you don't love them, they're absolutely free. They've made it really easy for you. There's literally no risk. Mail, host, read this line.
It gets me every time.
This one's me. And for the fellas, MeUndies Diamond Seam Pouch cradles your jewels and gives your stuff the support it needs without feeling too tight.
And for the ladies, MeUndies features soft black seams that minimize slippage without sacrificing style. And they're super comfy. In every cup.
Comfrey. Buy MeUndies because of the comfrey.
Bikini, thong, boy short, or cheeky brief.
It's National Underwear Month. Time to try MeUndies risk-free. Buy them. Let me just start by saying I don't know anything about this National Underwear Month. Like, there's like a national month for everything.
Sure.
Who declares that?
Trump.
Oh, okay. Buy them. Try them. If they feel good. If the feel good, silky smooth, downright dreamy embrace of MeUndies isn't for you, they're free.
Yeah, now until August 31st, get 20% off your first pair, plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/views. They're great underwear. I have them, but I had to pay for mine. But they are really great. You should use this. You guys, you should take 20% off.
That's MeUndies.com/views.
MeUndies.com/views.
They're great. Thank you, MeUndies. Roll the intro music. You know what I don't understand ever?
What?
Is how, well, I think we've talked about this before. How can some, oh, cow.
You got some of the carrots.
Yeah.
In your mouth still.
Yeah, some of the carrots that you shot at me through your butthole.
How
often do people hate stuff where they send it back? Like, how many people try on MeUndies and they're like, fuck these.
Oh, yeah, it's a total scam.
You think it happens?
No, I mean, who has the time to send some underwear back? You don't send them back, right?
No.
Like, if you bought something and
but they send me one. They send me a new shipment every week, so I never have to send it back.
Yeah, but like you, but yeah.
I'm just trying to show off.
But you have a water cooler out there that you're never going to use.
Yeah, my parents sent me that.
And you're not going to send it back and get the $1,700 back.
Speaking of my parents, have you ever walked in on your parents having sex?
Me? Yes, I have.
Really?
Yes.
All right, go.
Well, it's not an attractive story. Paints them in a good light. Or
which time do you want me to say?
One time,
my 13th, 15th, or 17th birthday.
I went in. Oh, they were separated. It must have been like 11 or 12, and we went to like some hotel
to celebrate the ending of the First World War. I'm sorry.
It's because I'm old.
Yeah,
I want to explain it to everybody out there who didn't get it. It's because I'm old.
Jason's 44. I'm 21.
Yeah.
I can.
I liked it better when you were 20.
I liked it better when I was 22.
Yeah, it sounded better.
Yeah, it's not as funny now, huh?
No, it's not as funny.
I'm almost catching up to you.
I know.
Soon I'm going to be just as old as you.
No, I walked in. Oh, anyways, yeah, they were in a hotel, and they had already been separated, but for whatever reason, they came back to try to be together one more time or something. And then
they were divorced.
Well, they weren't divorced yet, but they had been separated for a while. But I don't know, the three of us were somewhere.
And they like try to kind of rekindle the family and do a family vacation?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
It was always bad. When my parents got divorced, I was so happy.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, it was the worst. They came to me, they're like, "We're so sorry." I'm like, "Oh, thank God. We have to fucking enough to do this anymore. This has been horrible for everyone involved."
You're like 7 years old.
Yeah.
Your first words, "Thank fucking God, Mom."
I was so excited.
Really?
Oh, yeah, my father was horrible.
Oh, so you were like excited for your mom. Did your dad used to hit you?
He didn't hit me. He hit me a couple times.
With what?
His hand, his fist.
His brass knuckles. And why would he hit you?
Hit me with a blender once? No.
You probably deserved it, though.
Oh, fuck off. bad thumbnail.
Bad, yeah. Yeah. Bad YouTube videos, bad vines, whatever you were doing at the time.
So anyways, they came back, and they sent me out for ice. But the ice machine wasn't very far. It was literally like right outside the door. And I think I was gone for like 90 seconds. And I came back and they were having sex.
What was your mom wearing?
I don't know. They were like under sheets. It was really awkward.
You're like, it was this beautiful waist.
It was what?
You just don't start talking about her underwear as if you completely recall it. And then you came back and you walked in on them.
And then I just stood there.
And then what happened?
Well, my dad finished.
No. And then you high-fived him?
I don't know. I honestly blocked it out. But it did happen. Don't you have shit like that? That you're like, oh yeah, that was fucking weird.
No, not really.
You don't have anything weird that happened that you blocked out?
No, not blocked out, no. I guess I wouldn't know if I blocked it out.
My dad was just really rough growing up, horrible. He walked me out when I was older. I think I was in my 30s. No, I think I was like 40.
Wow.
He took me for a walk once on summer vacation.
This was like, what, 2 months ago?
Yeah. Well, maybe it was like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And he actually apologized for everything that he did to me as a child. It was really fucking heavy, yeah.
What did he do to you?
He just fucking tortured me like awful.
What do you mean?
You know, he's just like a really masculine guy.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
Yeah, you're a pussy. Wait, what did you do?
You'd love my dad. You get along so well with him.
We make fun of you?
Yeah.
your 60, 70-year-old dad making fun of you with his...
with his 20-year-old boss?
Yeah.
So that was... And, you know, he just apologized. He was like...
But what would he do?
Like...
Because a dad apologizing for something means he, like...
Like,
really
okay, like, I, like... Okay, so we were really poor. Okay. So, like, I got some new pants one day. And I was like... clumsy, fat, fucking kid. Like, I was just not good at anything. And so...
Walking?
Wasn't good at walking. So I go to school with my new pants. They're corduroys. And I'm so excited. And then I just fell.
You can tell how long ago this was.
Huh?
They're corduroys.
Well, you don't wear corduroys?
No, not anymore.
People don't wear corduroys anymore?
I think they burned them after like this.
No, that's not true. They have them in like J. Crew. You buy them every fall. On the East Coast, people wear...
Those haven't been popping since like the Civil War.
No, on the East Coast, people wear corduroys.
No, Martin Luther King got rid of those.
Okay. So then I ripped my pants.
Okay.
And then I was like, oh, I'm so fucked when I go home because these pants are ripped. And then...
Because it's very special. It's like your family was like Willy Wonka. Like, you know, like when the four grandparents are sleeping on the bed and the Charlie and the Chocolate
You always
Factory.
Reference Willy Wonka and I never know it. It's like your one movie you go to.
And then my mom passed away. Oh, like Willy Wonka.
Explain Willy Wonka to me.
There was just his Charlie, the guy who gets the golden ticket.
Yeah.
His grandparents sleep on a bed and there's four of them on this big bed because they're so poor.
What's he get the golden ticket to do?
The golden ticket is to...
What's the movie about again? It's about a chocolate factory, right?
Yeah.
And then what happens in it?
He gets the reward at the end is he wins the chocolate factory. And he'd rather stay with his family.
Ah.
Because family's important to
him. Okay, got it, got it.
It's a beautiful message.
Okay.
If you were Charlie, you would have definitely taken the factory, though. You would have been like, fuck this. From what it sounds like.
Gotten out. You should have seen how fat I was. I would have taken the chocolate factory for sure.
You would have taken and destroyed it in one sitting. Okay, so what did your dad do? Sorry.
So, yeah, no, then he
Oh, yeah, the corduroy pants.
Yeah, and I had the ripped pants, and he saw him. He picked me up from school. I had the ripped pants, and he just fucking, like, you know, beat the shit out of me. It was awful.
Shut up. What'd he do?
Fucking beat me up.
Like what? Like mentally?
No, physically.
He just took you and started punching you?
No, I think he hit me like once or twice.
Oh,
so. But it fucking hurt.
Did he ever abuse you mentally?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
What names would he call you?
Fucking, you know, pussy. And yes. Like, no, he never, I don't know if he called me pussy, but he just did it in a way that was like, just under his breath kind of shit.
And, oh,
and,
shit.
And just very, like, it was very tense. So it was always about, like, controlling his emotions. So it was always like, okay, he's home. Oh, let's see. Let's make nice. Like I would always have to act like an adult and be like, oh, hey, how was your day, Dad?
Oh.
And like just be on pins and needles. And you're like, okay, like, is he gonna flip out?
Like some real stepdad stuff. Like that sounds like my friends with their stepdad.
I don't know. Maybe people had shitty stepdads. This was my real dad. I think a stepdad or a dad could be this way. And so could, you know, a fucking a monster. But but yeah, so it was just very like that. It was awful.
How is he with your kids?
He's okay. I wish he would do more, you know. He's not great.
Has he called him a pussy yet?
No. He's mellowed out a lot. He's much more chill now. I like him a lot. I like my dad a lot. He's like a real guy. The thing about him is that if you'd met him, you'd be like, this guy's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, he's the kind of guy that...
Oh, I'd love him.
You'd love him.
From the stories I'm hearing already.
People love him. Oh, yeah. No, people love him. Like, he just wasn't a good dad.
He's actually the writer for all my vlogs. I want you to tape Jason to the wall, put a scorpion in his mouth.
He's not sadistic like you.
No.
No,
And how was your mom?
Oh, she's the best.
Yeah?
The greatest.
Met her a couple times.
The greatest woman.
Is that
on
the
Earth.
One you threw in the retirement home?
No.
Oh, that was your other one?
My other mom?
Yes. Your mother-in-law.
I did.
You put her in a retirement home.
My ex-wife put her mother in a retirement home. I was well out of the picture.
I used to work at a retirement home.
I know, you told me.
And
did you ever mess with them or...
I didn't mess with them, but I mean, I had some.
Was your job waiting, or was it like cleaning the bedpans?
It was waiting.
Okay.
So I was a waiter there, and you have a lot of sympathy for, like, if I'm going to tell the story, and people are going to be like, wow, the people that you worked with were dicks, but like you have to look at it from their point. Like old people can get really frustrating.
Oh yeah.
Like especially if you're serving them constantly. This doesn't justify what my friends would do, but they would. I mean, this was on a constant basis. They would, when someone was eating their fruit salad and the old person was done with it, they would take it up and they would dump it into the next person's fruit salad to save food and save time. Like just constant stuff like reusing food.
No.
Yes. I mean, it was a war zone. And we always knew, like when I first started working there, I was like, what the hell is going on? Like it was brutal. Like I just didn't understand it. And actually my first 2-3 months I worked there, 3 months in a row, I was the only person that only waiter that
didn't mix up the fruit salad. I gave them fresh fruit salad.
I was the only waiter that they ever brought that the old people would ever bring up in their like monthly meetings.
Really?
And like congratulate me. And they loved me. They gave me such an ego boost. Every time I would serve their tables, they'd be like, when are you getting out of here, kid? And I'm like, soon, Peter, soon. But yeah. Like it's just so depressing. And my friends would always be like, "This, if you send your family here, you really don't give a crap about them." Like that's really? How we always, because it's such an awful place to be.
I've been by it. It looked like a nice place.
Yeah. It's like that. And then you leave and then your mother is crawling and clawing at the window wanting to get out. I mean, retirement homes are nice for one reason, because it's the most sex-filled area you'll ever... Like, old people have sex like no other.
I've heard that, but did you see that?
It's constant hooking up. Like, they constantly hook up with people. And the scariest part about working at a retirement home is, especially at dinner, the people would always sit at the same spot. And, like, every week you come in... And there's a spot missing because they would die every week.
Yeah.
Every week.
Yeah, my father-in-law used to go on cruises, and he says they have this thing called the dead mic, which is people just die on cruises, and then they chop them out. At least every cruise, someone dies.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
It's all old people.
And like there was like some conspiracy theories.
So
going.
You would go to work one day and be like, "Where's Jerry?"
Yeah, he's dead. Jerry actually did pass away. That's a really good guess.
Really?
Well, there's a couple Jerrys that passed away. There was the retirement home. Let me give you a good feel about how depressing it is. It was five floors.
Yeah.
And at the bottom of the floor was a grand piano. Yeah. And one day, someone from the top floor jumped and landed on the piano and killed themselves.
On purpose?
Yeah.
Paid suicide, huh?
Yeah.
What a way to go out.
On a grand piano. How cliche is that?
Oh, I think we talked about this because I made a really off-color joke about it.
What did you say?
He played Alicia Keys' Fallen.
Oh, you did! We did talk about this. Anyway, retirement homes.
And I did it again.
Yeah, no. Just
That's sad.
Yeah.
It's,
but you're not putting your mother in a retirement home.
Fuck no.
What is she doing right
now?
Well,
no, it depends. I mean, it depends. Like, my mother-in-law has some health issues. She needs round-the-clock care.
What's wrong? Oh, your mother-in-law. Okay. Yeah. What about your mother? Does she have health issues?
Nah, she's strong as an ox. She's a Jew.
How old?
Strong Jew.
How old is she?
She's Italian Jew. She's 76, something like that.
She had you when she was 10?
God, I walked into that one,
boom,
David.
Another zinger.
Man, I got to get my fucking boxing gloves on.
Where does she live now?
Huh? She lives in Boston.
She lives by herself?
Yeah, she's great. She works, she was working at Neiman Marcus. And then she has a little apartment there, subsidized by the state.
It's just so scary to me that she just lives by herself.
Yeah, she lives in a town where nothing bad happens.
It's not that. It's what does an old person do? She watches a lot of Wheel of Fortune, huh?
No, she's my sister. She has a lot of friends.
Oh, so she hangs
She doesn't
out.
Watch Wheel of Fortune. She my mom's more like she likes like what you and I like. Like she would watch porn? What you would watch. Oh. What? Porn? No. Huh? No, she's like really into like comedy and like
awesome. Yeah,
David Letterman.
She
loves the vlogs.
She watches yours?
Yeah.
I thought you said she was into comedy. Boom.
Damn, fuck you. All right, fuck this. All right. I'm fucking, if it's going to be a show like this, then let's do it. Your fucking hair looks stupid. Dumb.
Okay,
and you need a haircut.
They're too easy.
And it's falling out. How about that?
You're a dick.
What?
There was no.
You fucking sent three zingers my way. So you want to play, bitch? Let's fucking play. Go.
You never had to bring up the fact that they're falling out. You could say that I need a haircut.
You didn't have to fucking say that my parents are dead.
I never said that.
You say it all the time. Nah. I was on the phone with my mother and you're like, don't lie. She's not alive. She heard you.
No, she didn't.
Of course she did.
What'd she say?
She's smart as a fox.
What'd she say?
She goes, that David. You're not going to be unhappy until you torture my entire family, are you? Would you like to call my sister? Go right ahead.
I love, it ran in my family, I think. Not in my family, just in my entire like friend group. Making jokes about dead people or about people that were about to die was like such a big thing.
Really?
Like constantly. Like
it, at the old folks.
It was
home.
Sickening. It's like no.
Oh no, just
no,
in
like
general.
Like relatives and friends. Oh, like yeah. When they would pass away, it'd be like the five of us, like we'd just feel like we're sinners.
Right.
But it was like when my friend's grandpa passed away, man. I think I talked about this too. It was just like it was like we had a new topic to talk about. Like it was just new material. Literally, and we felt so bad, and he felt bad until he started joining in, and he felt better about it. Like, it's just like every time someone would pass away, it'd be like open season for jokes. And it was so strange.
Yeah, I've done that with.
It's just
I've done that.
It doesn't.
I also got older, and just like then it started to become reality. I was just hanging out at my ex-wife's house, and it's just always bad news.
You hang out there a lot. It's kind of like you're trying to hook up with her.
No, I have two children together.
Oh,
David.
Yeah, that's
we have
it.
Two children together. Hey, you did a really nice thing today. I want to compliment you.
What did I do?
You got on the phone with the kid who almost died today, the bone marrow transplant kid, Josh.
Okay.
By the way, Josh, if you're listening, glad you're alive.
I love how you said that. You started laughing, and you're like, he almost died today.
Now I see why you make jokes, because it is fucking funny.
No, but we got on the phone with him, and he was super... He was making.
I talked to him first before the surgery.
Uh-huh.
And Scott and Todd were there. We were having. He was really nice.
You
kid.
Talked to him before the surgery, so he told you there was a chance he was going to die.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
he's just a guy who watches the vlogs.
Yeah.
Okay.
And his sister had contacted me, and she said, he's going to surgery. Can you talk to him? And I was like, sure. And Scott and Todd got on the phone with them. They were so nice. And he actually ended up being like a cool guy that I could probably sit and talk to for a while. And
he made it.
And yeah, but I'm editing today, and I'm like, and I'm looking at my watch, and I'm like, oh fuck, it's like 7 in Toronto right now.
Uh huh.
And I'm like, oh fuck,
I gotta give him a call.
I'm like, I don't know if he made it.
Shit.
And then he finally called like pretty late. What was it, like 5 o'clock when you talked to him?
Yeah.
So then when he called at 5 o'clock, David and I are in separate rooms, and I just go, hey, what's up? It's like, you fucking made it. You're alive. He's like, I made it, dude. I'm alive. And I was like, yes. Yes, Josh. You fucking did it. He's like, yeah, well, not out of the woods yet.
That's exactly what he told me. And I'm like, congrats. He's like, not yet, man. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but God bless you, Josh. You made it. And David, and then I walked the phone over to David because he hadn't gotten a chance to talk to David because David wasn't there. And you talked to him. And not only were you nice enough to talk to him, obviously I knew, but you cracked all these jokes and made him laugh.
Whoa.
In a very tense situation. Like, I think you said something. You said to him, he goes, he's got these big, big headphones on. And David said something like, oh, you made it, huh? And he's like, you're alive or something. And he goes, yeah, yeah. And he goes, well, it must be those noise-canceling headphones you got on. He's like, that must have saved you. Don't take those off. He laughed hard.
I said, nothing bad ever happens to people with noise-canceling headphones.
But, like, you know, you were, like, joking about, like, life or death with him. And somehow, like, thought it was really funny.
I love those people that are in situations like that that, like, can find, like, the comedy in it. It's so just, like... It just puts you like in a good mood, and it puts them in a good mood.
Yeah, it puts them in a good mood.
When you could find something that like that's really dark to joke about, like that's awesome. Like my grandma constantly jokes about death.
She's still alive?
Unfortunately, she's.
What's she like?
No, I'm kidding. She's dead. She. Yeah.
What was she like?
No, she's alive.
Which one is it?
No, she's great. She's great, but she's constantly make jokes about like. Like, I can't wait to, like, haunt you when I die tomorrow. Like jokes like that. Like I'm going to haunt you in your sleep. I'm never, like just, like, really, like, really? Off-color jokes. But, like, it's I don't know. There's something so, like, something so depressing about death that, like, I never really, like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm, like, I don't know. I've never been close to death, so I don't know, like, how much I value life. But, like, the way that, like, people talk about death is very depressing. Like, they make it, like, this very... It's like this really, if you don't go out in a bad way,
yeah,
like disease, then like if like my grandma dies, like right. She lived a happy life,
right.
Everyone treated her well, like sure. It's great, like it's nothing to be sad about,
right? You kind of look back at it like yeah. It's a body of work, like it wasn't so bad,
especially because she's like making jokes about if she's like fucking like I need 20 more years or my life's not fulfilled, then that's a problem. But like if she's like making jokes about like
about dying,
about just living it up already, like. That's fine. I don't know.
Yeah, you're very cavalier about death. You always say that. You're like, oh, I don't care if I die. Like when you drive fast.
My biggest fear, other than me being sick, is killing someone else. Holy crap. That's my biggest fear.
You just kill yourself?
Of course.
Really?
I wouldn't know how.
How would you do it?
I don't know. I kind of imagine the situation being like, it's a car accident.
Right.
We're both unconscious. And maybe I'm like, I go out, I drift off into this like white room.
Right.
And whoever there is, if there's a God, whoever is up there, he's sure. Like, hey, I can bring you back.
Yeah.
Or I can just keep you here.
Sounds like a movie. Keep going.
And he's like, but if you go back, you killed this man on his motorcycle. Do you want to go back? And I would just have to say no.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want to go back. That's nothing you can live with, taking another person's life.
You're still going to be in heaven thinking about it.
Well, I'm hoping he'd give me an option where I can erase my memory.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you didn't say that. I mean, obviously, we know when we all go up to heaven and we get a choice about whether we go back or not, that there's that third option to erase your memory.
And, like, it's just like, I don't know. That's my biggest fear.
The Vin Diesel movie, I think.
The Tooth Fairy. That's The Rock. But, yeah, I don't know. That is my biggest fear, taking someone's life. But yeah, no, death isn't that big of a deal.
So you wouldn't kill yourself, though?
No, because I
would never be able to.
I don't know how. I couldn't drown myself. I couldn't cut my... No, I can't do that.
I was
I swallowed some water in the pool the other day, and about I was in about 3 feet of water, and I was like, ooh, that'd be a horrible way to go.
I think drowning would actually be the best way to go.
No.
Yeah.
I almost drowned once. It was awful.
Because I feel like you go unconscious, and then your lungs blow up, and you don't know anything about your lungs blowing up. Because think about all the people that drown, right? But are resuscitated back on shore. Like, do you think it was that painful for them when they, you know what I mean?
Well, it's horrible though. It's a horrible way to go.
Yeah. But like, think about it.
So fearful. Rather than just like having your head decapitated, you're done.
Fuck that.
What?
I can't do that.
A guillotine?
A guillotine, maybe. But like,
oh no, not like some ISIS shit. No, nobody would want that.
Dude, have you seen ISIS beheading videos?
Yeah, I made myself watch it once.
It's so everyone. Stupid. Everyone watches them because it's just.
Is it true?
I mean, dude. It's,
after I watched it, I was sorry I did.
It's fucking. It's just like, I don't know what it is with human nature, but like people just like are amused by disgusting shit like that. Not like in like an entertaining way. Like, keep going.
Yeah, I wasn't amused. I needed to see it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's what I.
Yeah.
Mean.
Yeah.
And it's, dude, I saw one. I can't wrap my head around the fact that that's a real video and that's someone's life in another country.
Yeah.
Blows my mind.
Oh, what about popcorn? You like popcorn?
Yes.
I love popcorn.
I can't get off this topic yet. Hold on.
Okay. Keep going. I'll power through.
It's just...
You can talk about it. Let's talk about the... I got a mental image now, David.
I know. It's so
Should
brutal.
Should we jump to ZipRecruiter?
No, not yet. ZipRecruiter, you get your chance right after this ISIS bit. it's just like you know when people say things like when black people talk about like you have no idea how racist people can be,
right?
And like a white person's like, yeah, dude, it's not that bad or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like that's like I use these ISIS videos as perspective to how other people live, if that makes sense. Because like I can't even fathom like that life. I don't know if I'm making any sense, but like
I'm trying to follow. What did you say? Say it again.
Like,
no, you are making sense. I was thinking about a Dana Carvey thing that I saw yesterday. My mind was somewhere else. I'm so sorry.
I was thinking about the shrimp salad I just ate.
David finally opens up to me. Thinking about my shrimp
salad.
No.
It's like it's like those videos really make you think like, holy, like crap. Like,
yeah.
Like you're like, we're really, really lucky.
Oh,
to
so
be living
lucky.
like
so lucky.
So lucky to be living far away from that bullshit.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know.
Continue your point though.
That's kind of just my point. It's like, right. It makes you realize like how lucky you are.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine if you were just born there. What if you were just like born? Like,
I don't know
into
how that works.
You had no option but to join ISIS.
I also never.
Fucking awful.
I don't. Is it as bad as like? Is it as bad as we think it is, or is it like just a way of life for the people that live there?
Yeah, it's just all about your perspective and what you know. Like, if you're born with nothing and you're like, okay, this is my only option, and you're led to believe that doing this is going to like get you to heaven and like make you one with God by calling jihad, might be their only option.
I'm saying like, you know, like a lot of people say things like if I don't finish a meal, someone will be like, kids in Africa would you know, be so happy to have that.
Right.
But like, are kids in Africa, like, are they actually like depressed? They can't be, right? I've never seen an African, I mean, I've seen African kids be sad a lot, but like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they don't, it's just like a different like life they're living. If that
yeah,
makes
you're
sense.
Just, yeah, you're just used to different things. It's like you want a swimming pool. And the kid in Africa wants like an extra piece of chicken.
And that's fucking ridiculous.
You know?
That's so unfair.
Yeah. Well, that's fucking sucks. It sucks.
Yeah, so don't put your parents in retirement homes.
I guess not. I guess I'll keep my mom with me. Maybe we should move in here.
Moral of this entire story was stay longer when you go get ice for your parents. The moral of this entire story.
Don't get sent out for ice. Did you ever catch your parents having sex?
No.
Never?
No, never.
Surprising, because I caught them when I was there. I actually did come in one night, and they were snuggling on the couch. They weren't having sex, but it was...
I mean, that's like, I've walked in on you snuggling your kids.
What are you suggesting, sir? That's gross.
Okay, well, I didn't mean it that way.
You've got to...
Can you vamp a little bit?
Yeah.
Do you know what vamp means?
Yeah. Jason has to look for our new...
Oh, I found it.
Oh, okay. I'm done vamping. Guys, our next sponsor, this is a Midway sponsor. Shout out to ZipRecruiter. I don't know how these companies, like on YouTube, you can't get a brand deal if you say like the F word. But here we just talked about ISIS.
Yeah, David opened the show talking about coming in the underwear that we're selling.
And the undies. And these people keep coming back to our spots and keep coming back and paying us, which blows my mind. But ZipRecruiter gave me two intro options. So do you want me to go with A or B?
Do them both. Let's see what the people like.
Are you
tweet me, guys, which one of David's these do you like, A or B?
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates?
Okay, that's pretty good.
That's intro option A. Or I could have went with this one. Talk about the challenge of finding great talent and or the importance of finding great talent to successful business.
Okay, well, now you've got to do that.
I like A because B's asking
you're
me
not to, doing B, though. Talk about it.
I know, but B's asking me to go out and kind of add my own thing.
Do it.
No, I don't want to.
Why not?
Because I already read A.
Why aren't you having any fun? Have some fun, man.
Okay. It's pretty challenging to find great talent. And it is really important.
Like when you find Dirty Dom.
When I find Dirty Dom and his group of friends.
Yeah.
But with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with just one click. Then their powerful technology efficiency matches the right people to your job. Better than anyone else.
That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours.
No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard.
Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results.
And right now, my listeners, our listeners, can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Okay, I forgot this is the shit that I'm stuck
in. I can't believe they did this to you.
Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Nash.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/Nash. One more time, try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Nash.
Oh my God. Okay, you know what I'm actually really passionate about?
Nuts. Fruits, no. Fruits, and nuts mixed together.
No, not fruits and nuts. Oh. This is something I've actually never told you. I think about this a lot when I'm in school and when I used to be in school and when I used to go to church, any public gathering really, I would
boobs.
Always boobs.
Sorry.
No, that's you.
Oh yeah.
That's just you.
That's what I do at church.
I would always think about what I would do if a shooter walked into the building.
Oh,
it's like my biggest, like I would be sitting in class. I mean, I'm telling you, this is what my mind would go off to. Probably every day.
Every day.
Every day. Because I wouldn't think about it in like a scared way. I'd always paint myself like as this huge hero. Mm-hmm. And I'd always be like, okay, shooter walked in here right now. There's four of them in the building. This one guy's going to come out. I'm going to hide in the closet. And when he walks by the closet, I'm going to pop out, grab his gun, and shoot him in the face. And then I'm going to go around the school. And I'm gonna find the last four for the final last three, and I'm gonna kill them.
And then I'm gonna ask Marianne Ribisi to go to prom, and she's gonna say yes, and I'll have blood on my hands. And then the principal will be like, "You know what, Dobrik, you're not so bad after all."
And it gives me the keys to the city. No, but like I would always like pretend I was like this huge superhero, and I'd be like, "I'm gonna destroy this guy."
Yeah.
And I brought this up in my class.
Yeah.
And like in front of all my. All the kids that were in my class, and everyone was like, holy shit, I have the exact same thoughts. And yeah. It was so surprising because it's such a weird thing to think.
Right.
It's almost a little narcissistic, like painting yourself as this big hero.
I've had hero fantasies, for sure.
You've had hero fantasies?
Yeah, yeah. Like
yeah, one time I wanted to sleep with Wonder Woman. Those are your hero fantasies?
That's not what you meant.
No.
No, I've had fantasies about, you know, like if someone like tried to like hurt Charlie or something.
Your kid?
Yeah, they go crazy on him.
What would you do?
Just...
Tell him to stop.
Run.
Run, Charlie.
Grab and run.
No, but when I used to go to church, it was different because I used to feel like I would have super, I don't know, because it was like a holy place.
So in high school, the fantasies were more realistic. I mean, realistic with air quotes. Church, you had superpowers.
I had superpowers in church.
Why?
I don't know. I think it was like the whole God.
Sure.
The whole God thing that was going
God
on.
God would
church.
Touch you in that moment.
Like I was gonna like. I don't know why. I guess it's kind of weird.
It's interesting.
I kind of just imagine myself every time an intruder would come in, they'd be like holding the priest hostage. And yeah. I just like jump up and I start flying. And everyone's like pointing at me. And they're like, wow, we never knew that kid can do that.
Yeah.
And I'm looking down at everybody as I'm floating over to kill this intruder. Uh-huh. I'm like, yeah, what's up, guys? And then I grab the intruder and I stab him right in front of everybody, and everybody cheers.
You have God complex.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. You want everyone to like be praying to you while you save them at the same time, because that is how you operate a little bit.
No, no, no. That's
you do want to save everybody.
Yeah,
you do. You have a big hero complex.
But doesn't everybody want to be the hero?
I mean,
no.
It's true. But it's actually a nice quality. You do care about people, and you want to save everybody so much so that you put your neck out and you get yourself fucked in the process. But, you know.
It'd just be so badass. Like, I mean, obviously I would never want a school shooter to walk in, but like every time.
When you bring up the word school shooter in school, does everyone just duck down? Like, is that odd?
No.
Did you do it in class in front of the teacher, or just like, hey guys, no, at the lunch table?
My school wasn't like the internet. You know, you could bring up whatever you wanted in school. No one's going to point fingers.
Right.
But if you, you know, if I even, I'll get more shit for saying school shooter on this podcast than I will in my classroom.
Right.
But no, I don't know. I obviously never wanted a school shooter to walk in the classroom, but I knew if there was ever a time, I would at least think that I'd be ready.
The move that I like in the movies is when they dive and shoot. They like slide shoot.
Like the good guys?
Yeah, like a Keanu Reeves, like a
like I take the bad guy's gun.
Yeah.
No. I mean, like I'm telling you, I used to think about this every day. So I used to have fantasies. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna kick his left knee, and then he's gonna be down on the ground. And I'm gonna stab his eyes out with a pencil, with my Ticonderoga number two. I mean, I used to get really deep, and like I don't know. Please let me know. Please tweet at me if this is relatable, or if I'm just a psychopath.
Well, everybody thinks about that, about saving. Like, you know, when I'm in a movie theater, I think about that. If someone came in right now,
yeah,
what would you do?
What would be your number one go-to?
Yeah, we didn't.
What if everybody on the planet's thinking about that, and some guy walks in, and everyone just stands up? Everyone's like, "This is my time." And you just all look at everybody else trying to be a hero, and you're like, well, "You guys had the same idea too."
Did you think you would really do something? Would you lay your body on the line for your class, for your church?
I'm convinced just from my thoughts that I would, but obviously it's a situation I've never been in. And I have no idea.
Did you ever have like a fantasy of like saving your family in the house that an intruder would come in?
No, I never.
You don't give a fuck about them.
you wanted
to be in a public place so you could get more glory. So basically,
I never. I guess you don't really hear too much about like horrifying incidents where people are home intruders because it's just so common. Then you know what I mean?
Yeah. You're too good for that. Your powers need to go for something special, more rare.
Someone breaks into my house. I'm like, I'm sorry, mom and dad. There's going to be a superhero that's going to break into church, and I need to save the day.
Hopefully, Toby's been having the same fantasy. He can take care of this intruder.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No. I would definitely step in and save my family too.
Yeah. Congratulations, David, on your Streamy nomination.
Oh.
Well done.
Oh, thank you. You too. Congrats.
Go, boy. I wasn't bringing it up so you would congratulate me.
Guys, Jason got nominated for two Streamy Awards, which is an internet award show type of thing.
Yep.
It's kind of like the Oscars, but nothing like that at all.
Nope,
not at all.
No.
But for the internet people.
It's for my movie, which, you know, I know you said sucked.
Which is FML. Yep. What did it get nominated for? Best comedy?
best feature.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
It's amazing. I'm so proud of you. I know you worked really hard on the movie.
I tried my best to keep that movie down.
I know you tried your best, Jason, and that's all that matters. And I'm glad you're nominated for something.
Thank you very much, David.
Go vote for Jason. Go check his stuff out. Go like and subscribe to all of Jason's channels.
Go vote for David.
Yeah.
David got nominated for Creator of the Year.
Oh, go vote for my girlfriend.
If I win, I've already got my speech planned.
Yeah.
I've been riding around my car doing my speech.
Really?
If I'm being completely honest.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and you're in there.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to start crying?
I could. I might.
I hope the music turns on the second you go up on stage. Accepting the award, Jason Nash.
I've never won anything in my life.
Really?
If I win this, oh, my God. It'll be fucking ape shit. I'll go ape shit.
How proud are your kids going to be?
Oh my God. When I told them I was nominated, they were like off the wall.
Really?
They were so excited.
They're like, Daddy, Daddy, what were you nominated for? You're like, FML. They're like, no fucking way. That movie?
Not that piece of shit.
All right, guys. I mean, that's all the time we have for today. Make sure you guys like and subscribe. Tweet us. Tell us what
my man David Dobrik, I got to thank you. This wouldn't have been possible without you. I want to thank Dirty Dom, the Dirty Gang. I want to thank Zane Heath.
Okay, all right, we're gonna end the podcast right there. Please make sure to tweet us if you have any complaints, and if you have serious complaints, don't tweet us because we don't want to see them because then we'll get really scared and we won't do any more podcasts.
Buy some of David's merch.
Buy some of our merch.
He's trying to build a pool here, guys.
Subscribe. Yeah, please help me pay for my pool because you guys haven't already enough.
That he's not gonna swim in.
That I'm not gonna swim in. All right, goodbye, guys. Have a good day. Bye. We'll be right back.